All right. This is the Penny Arcade staff podcast. And who do we have on staff?
Erica from PA Design.
Kiko.
Kiko. That was awesome.
Mike Failauer in a Kiko voice.
I don't have a Kiko voice. Jeff.
Good try.
There you go.
And this is Josh.
Oh, that's Josh.
So I guess let's start with some questions from people. We have two questions about production, I guess, for Jeff and Mike.
People want to know
about us.
About that is unusual.
Not
no. Jeff, they want to know about the project that Mike and Jerry do.
Let's start with
actually. This
Jeff's,
is interesting. I want to know what you guys do.
Yeah,
too.
Jeff's project.
Which one?
The book.
The Lookouts novel.
The Lookouts novel. I actually just had a conversation with Jerry.
Okay.
It turns out it's very hard to get Jerry to do any work without someone else relying on him to meet a date. That's really the only reason we were able to get Rainslick the games done is because we had a publisher and we had locked in release dates. So I am working with Robert to come up to some sort of virtual guillotine that we can hold above Jerry's head. Because as of right now, the only deadline is when he gets it done, but we need to...
No, that's not going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work. So we're going to create a real framework. I know that he's done a lot of prep work. And when Jerry actually... The way Jerry's worked, because I've seen him do it for all the text for the Rainslick games, he edits in his head a lot before he actually puts anything down on paper. And since he's never done a full-length novel, I don't think that approach is going to be the best. He needs to just start getting those words down on virtual paper. And we'll start that process. I can't give any hard dates or anything, but we're going to start pushing him a lot more.
Is he using any kind of technology, like, you know, plot tracking or character tracking?
Not really.
There
I mean,
programs
I've used them. I mean, it's just basically a Google Doc worksheet. I mean, that's all it is. And then I go in and double check his progress and say, this is enough, this is not enough, or whatever. Huh. The problem is that he, you know, you work with creative. Sometimes they don't want to share anything until they're ready.
That's maddening.
And sometimes you need to look at the stuff that's not quite ready to figure out when it will be ready.
They get sad and upset, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sure. It's a fine balance between pushing hard enough to get the work without pushing so hard you just piss them off.
It's not a linear process.
It is not.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard that phrase a lot.
Listen, design is a series of failures with one success at the
design
end.
Design is really discovery.
Yeah.
Like you
find
out. You
have to continue failing.
You have to dig and dig and dig. Yeah. And then you eventually figure out what, you find what works.
Mm-hmm. And then everybody else goes, why don't you do it this way? And you just say, shut up. Because you already tried that way 8 hours ago and you already know why it doesn't work.
And it's so hard. So hard to have a deadline because it's not just something that you just start doing.
Yeah, but
it may happen.
You can't just do it faster.
But the other side of that is sometimes without a deadline, it
never gets
done.
That's understandable. Yes. Yeah. A deadline is good, but it's hard when you say, okay, we need a t-shirt design by Friday. I'm like, okay, well, I hope I find that t-shirt design. Yeah.
Sometimes you start that t-shirt design Thursday night. And sometimes you've been trying to work on it since Monday morning.
But sometimes
that's why I like
you.
Sometimes
you discover that design Monday morning when it's due Friday,
yeah.
And then hey, that was great. I hope that happens again.
Like the Omegathon stuff yesterday, I got that all knocked out.
See, that's why I like being the studio notes for that. Can I go? Can we get a little more red in that, and then really piss you guys off?
Being a designer is incredibly infuriating that way, where it may just not happen. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Something will eventually be put in on a blank, you know, JPEG. And, you know, maybe it'll be the best, maybe it won't be.
Kiko, whenever I've come to you with projects, you've never once failed to deliver.
Because it's our secret shame. We don't broadcast to the world that
it's not the best.
Yeah, sometimes the things we give to you are not things that we are proud of.
Yeah. that's not in our interest to say, you know what? This is what you're getting.
Here's this crummy thing you made me do.
Wow. You guys
have
sell it
you
with such conviction.
Lot,
it's our job to sell it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I mean, it's like Mike and Jared with the comic. They do the same thing. Like, sometimes it's just, a this JPEG is what we have. This,
right.
Yeah. This today's is comic is coming out. Like
today's comic is
great.
It was great.
Super funny.
It was
no,
very,
it's, yeah.
It's so
it's
good,
funny,
though.
But it's
no,
like,
the first
what
thing I asked
was
Jerry,
this?
He put it, the first thing I asked Jerry when he put it on the post today is that, please tell me there's a podcast for this. There is not.
Such a shame.
Do we need to tell the listeners of the podcast, this podcast,
no,
which
comic
we're talking about?
No, they're trying to figure out.
They try to figure out which one we're talking about?
It's like a little
well,
game.
I just gave the
we do actually put up the date that the podcast
oh,
was
so
recorded.
They can look
yeah,
if they want to
figure it out.
Cross
if I remember to put up the right date, you know. So how about Thornwatch, Mike? How's that going?
It's going great, actually. And one of the interesting things with Jerry working on the novel and us working on the game is that a lot of the efforts of Thornwatch game development contribute to what Jerry needs to know for the novel. World building stuff. He resists this like a dervish. You know, he does not enjoy me defining things in his world. Mm. But it's necessary for him to get the game out. You know, we need to know what, you know, the cover looks like, and that requires art. And so someone has to draw it, and then that defines something, you know. But I think it's helping him along. Going out to get some beers with him for his birthday, we came up with an idea that fundamentally changed the nature of Thornwatch, the organization, in-world organization, that necessarily informs the Ironwood and Lookouts. Hmm. And that wouldn't have happened if we weren't working on the game. And me, you know, beating on him to say, why does this world function this way? He's like, it doesn't matter. It does. And now we've got a cool solution that solves that problem.
That's interesting.
Going on with how Thornwatch is coming, it's grown from Mike's hobby. You know, this is his sort of playing Dungeons and Dragons and saying, I could make this experience more fun, and here's what that looks like, and here's, you know, some loose rules and some loose cards.
More fun for him.
Yeah. Yeah, more fun for him specifically, and his group specifically. So just that, this notion. And now it's a team of five people, you know, fitting in time as they can. This is not an official Penny Arcade Incorporated initiative. It's still spare time. But it's getting real close to being something. And once we know what Thornwatch is, then we can evaluate how to take it forward and make it a product. Mm-hmm. And that's been really fun, just to see everyone so enthusiastic about contributing that time, those ideas, and sort of unearthing the game itself. Mm-hmm. As far as events goes, yeah, PAX East is coming up, and that'll be the first time that the rule set as it exists right now will make contact with people outside this building, and that's exciting.
Hmm. They will also help us to discover what Thornwatch is going to be.
Yeah, so...
Oh yeah, you guys are going to go through another rule set revision, I'm sure.
The person speaking to my left, Kiko, who identified himself as Kiko, titleless, is serving on the team that I mentioned earlier. He is designer of the cards, but also his experience is bringing Paint the Line and working on Gamers vs. Evil have definitely paid dividends in how we're presenting this playtest to the audience. Mm-hmm. And how to iterate and the experiences. Well, really, Kiko, you should talk about how your Paint the Line ordeals are informing what we're doing now in Thornwatch.
Mostly just what happens on the ground at PAX, what to expect, shaping the information that we need to extract from these playtesters.
Are we doing any sort of Thornwatch panel at PAX, or is it a little too premature? We're going to do
no, there will be. Salinker is going to be talking about the Pathfinder Adventure card game, and Karulik's going to be talking about Thornwatch. Both are card-based role-playing experiences. Oh. So they're in the same panel.
Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Keith.
No,
I thought it was an extension of what
just
you were
just what to expect, because we ran two betas at PAX Prime. One at PAX Prime and one at PAX East. And
for
they,
Paint the Line.
For Paint the Line. And they gradually got bigger from the first to the second. And just the basic stuff, like learning how people respond to, you know, if you give them a rule sheet, they mm-hmm. will stare at it and not absorb any of it.
Nope.
You really have to have a solid pitch at the table to get people to understand it immediately what's happening, because any preparation beforehand, it really won't sink in. And also that people are not accustomed to shuffling cards that are sleeved. So be prepared for destroyed pieces that you need for the test. So to have backups for that, but more along those lines of what's going to happen at these tests.
Yeah. Well, just in terms of board games in general, I find that most of the time I learn a game by sitting down and playing it with somebody who's played it before. I mean, and then you go to the rule sheet with some
really to reference
to clarify something.
Yeah.
And that's how we're conducting this. So we're going to train game masters here in Seattle who are also going to be at PAX East. And that way the people who play test the game, the customers, the attendees, will be taught by the folks who are not us. Right. And even that process of training the game masters is going to be very fascinating.
Oh yeah. They're going to have a ton
of educational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's been really, it's just been, I'm so happy you're here, Kiko.
I can't remember the last time I just opened a new board game and figured out how to play by reading the instructions.
That's how I play every board
game. I've done it occasionally, but I don't do it very, usually I'm sitting down. Someone is like, you got to play this game, and they've played it.
Yeah. Well, often you crack that seal with your friends there ready to go, and so you necessarily have to start playing. I guess it is pretty rare for folk to buy a game, read the rules, 2 weeks later you invite your friends over.
Yeah, because I mean, you don't learn it without having played through it. You could play through it by yourself, but there are still things that are missing until you are in that situation and you're like, oh, I get it now. Yeah. You know, or well, I love how I don't understand this rule at all.
Some modern and indie games will have, you know, your first turn, right? That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And even if you're alone, you know, you can go through there, work out the mechanics, see how it works in action.
Yeah, those make it really nice.
Yeah. And we're definitely paying attention to that practice for Thornwatch. The other really cool thing is, even though the team is drawing from many disciplines of design and engineering and the business side and whatnot, everyone is contributing ideas that make it into the final rule set. Like, yeah, Josh. Yeah,
me.
The last playtest, you had some awesome comments, and those are working into the rules. And so, of course, as a lifelong player, it's been really fun to suggest stuff and see folks start to nod around the table and watching those make it into the current iteration. Mm-hmm. It's been very gratifying.
And then
truly team effort.
Last week we did a podcast that should be going up before this goes up.
Oh, where people can hear you tell guys
us.
Play?
Yeah, you tell us, man. You're the one that puts it together.
I'm saying it should. That's what I'm saying. It should be going up before this goes up. And that was also an interesting experience.
Yeah, I'm real curious to see what the comments will be after that.
You and Jamie played, mm-hmm. correct? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, from the PI side. So the notion with there was Mike's got to run it because it's, you know, Mike's got to run it.
Well, and Jamie's then, run games before.
Oh, yeah, I've run games too, but for this first, you know,
yeah,
public
for the,
reveal.
Yeah, public reveal. That makes sense.
It's important for him to run it. And then it's important for a couple folks on the PA side to be on there. So that's Jamie and I. And then it was also important to have people who had never seen the current mm-hmm. rule set. And so that was Brad and Pork Fry.
Last time I played it was in the retreat. I'm sure it's undergone a few revisions since
then.
Yeah,
it's way different.
Significant, yeah. Yeah. The pace of...
The damage system is completely redone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the damage system is
totally
really
awesome.
Cool. Like,
it's not the wounds in the deck anymore. Huh?
Yeah. No. The initiative system.
Well, sort of. No, you have the wounds in the deck, but it's the enemy damage that's different.
Oh. Right.
Yeah, and the initiative, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really incredible.
One would even say innovative.
Yeah.
Revolutionary.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fun, too. We've got in the building Mike Selinker. From Lone Shark Games, who's, you know, world-class, award-winning game designer, who wrote the adventure card game, among many, many, many other games. And we've been collaborating with him by inviting him to play tests and just doing design jam sessions. And when one of these guys, the guy who writes the, you know, the crossword puzzle for the New York Times as a, you know, VIP, writes the puzzle issue for Wired Magazine, runs events at PAX and, you know, corporate events all over the world, says, wow, this is crazy. I've never seen this before, and I think it's amazing. That's a good feeling.
Hopefully it bodes well.
All right, let's see. The other thing that people want to know about, which I guess pertains to you three the most,
it's a strange matchup.
Yeah, well, it's about the office space. Oh. And it's about design decisions that went into it, what worked, what had to be cut, what you might do differently, things like that.
Oh, that is
so interesting. So someone watched the new PA the Series episode and wanted to know about...
So Josh is indicating Erica, Kiko, and myself on that one. Well, yeah, we had a big box, right? And we knew we were going to tear out everything on the office side because it was in really poor condition and did not fit what we wanted, which was everyone has their own personal office and a big open space for collaboration.
Erica would be able to... You visited when it was...
Still operating under the old
building. I never got to see the old building.
It was terrible. It was a place where people went to die.
Let me tell you the horrible, horrible story.
Yes.
I don't know if we're supposed to...
I won't say the company name
of what it used to be, but like...
It was a furniture store.
No.
They were leasing.
The furniture part
else.
Was the warehouse so part. The upstairs was something
else. Was this just really... This internet-based business that was clearly like completely out of touch. Like their logo looked like clip art from, you know, like Word from 1991.
Weren't they trying to teach you like stock tips or something?
I don't even know.
It was very shady.
It was some kind of internet training. But so we came here and I guess like their landlord hadn't told them that whoever like was running it, I guess, had stopped paying the rent.
So the owners of the building had leased out this space to these folks, the office space to these folks, and those folks were delinquent on their rent payments, which means that the owners could legally break the lease and kick them out. So it was very important that they not catch up on their payments, because then we'd have these guys stuck in our building for another year. So it was good that they were delinquent. So we were walking around, the owners giving us a tour, and they're all looking at us saying, "What are you guys doing?" And we're like, we're just looking around.
Right. We're just looking around
and walked right into their office space, through everything.
We're walking through their office space,
flushing
going,
their toilets, checking
could,
the pressure
in
the water.
I think we
could
take this wall down here and we could probably do this. But here's the worst part. Now currently the snake lounge in our office, when you would walk up those stairs and there was no door, it was just, you know, an entrance way. On the left side where Snake is now, there was this little like folding table that had like a quote unquote snack spread on it.
Yeah.
And it was like the saddest thing that I've ever seen, because it was just like this little tower of pastries that were clearly like packaged pastries that someone had just unwrapped. And then there was this giant like punch bowl sized bowl of what looked like just generic like Costco snack mix, like peanuts, raisins, M&Ms, with just this giant spoon in it. And I could just like, it was, I don't know why it was so depressing, but I was just like, oh my God, this is the highlight of their day.
Right.
They come over here and they get a giant spoonful of this mix and they go back to their office and like, that's the perk of working here.
Yeah. After that tour, we were walking out with the owner and, you know, talking about the next steps or whatever. And their office manager came out. Their Josh came out after us and said, "Are you kicking us out?"
And, oh my God!
But like kidding.
We all walked away while the owner dealt with it. But if that person is listening, yes.
We did.
I don't know if you know this, but you're no longer in this space.
Oh, and I remember, like, so their whole business model was the idea that they were like putting the baby boomers back to work in the digital age. But so like all of their materials showing about the success of their business and stuff like that were like. Were newspaper articles that were framed and hung up on the wall, and it would literally be the same article in every hallway.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, from like 10 years ago. And I'm just like, this is like a shadow of what once was.
Yeah. So.
Trying to get that taste out of my mouth when I would come to this building.
Really?
Because
you could still see like the ghostly images.
I can see the specter of that snack
table.
I will never forget that sad mix.
Moonless nights, it still appears.
God.
Laden with stale treats.
One of the things I do remember actually is so when we had first come up here and Robert and I were looking at the ping pong room, what would become the ping pong room and stuff like that, he's like, "Yeah, so we're going to put in these big windows here in the ping pong room." And I was like, "Well, how high do they start?" And he was like, "I think they'll start about waist high." And I was like, "But what about David?" And he's like, "What do you mean, what about David?" And I was like, "Well, depending on like which direction we have these tables facing and stuff, like David has a reputation at the old office for running into the wall, like just backing full speed into the wall."
Granted, that space was too small for ping pong.
And too small for a David.
Right.
But so we're looking at these windows going,
this is when David is the Goliath.
Well, we're like, he's going to crash through this glass and drop like 12 feet into the warehouse.
Right.
And so we raised the height of the windows.
The windows
for
smaller.
Him?
Yes.
That is funny.
Yeah, so the windows start way higher. And
so Erica ruined our David traps.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been nicer to have larger windows, but we also weren't considering which way we'd put the ping pong tables or anything.
He is going to kill himself in the wilderness via bear.
And if we get
long
two tables,
before our traps
maybe
go
we'll
off.
Put them that way anyway.
True.
What was also another success was getting that giant air duct out of my office space.
You're welcome.
Oh, that was great.
Worked hard
on
that.
Did you have like a main trunk of the HVAC
you can
system
see
going
it in
through?
You can see it in the episode, the PAT, PA the Series episode.
Yeah.
It took up a quarter of that office.
Yeah.
It was a giant air duct. That
oh,
went
that
from
like
ceiling
from up
to
upstairs, downstairs,
to floor. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So below, so the I guess there's three different upstairs areas. There was the office area. There was the we called it the bridge, which they just used for storage, and then there was a mezzanine that was essentially warehouse space raised above the existing warehouse floor, and we connected all three of those areas together, and above. Or where Kiko's office is was above was essentially a paint shop, and so
so they were ventilation.
They needed one way overpressured air, and I went and ran right through the Kiko space. We fixed it.
Optimal.
Got rid of it.
Remember when the interior decorator was like, "Well, you can put a couch along this wall, and you'll have room over here." And we were like, "No, it's,
no,
we need
like,
to be
listen,
gone."
I was preparing myself to live with that. Giant metal.
Ooh. Yeah, we were going to entomb it in drywall just so that at least it looked like a wall. Yeah.
We were, there were many.
What a
got rid of it.
Little
options.
Nook you could have.
Yeah. Like,
so
no,
there's that one metal
actually
ground
expansion
runner
thing
that runs along a large part of the floor. Is that where they combined two of those upstairs sections?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In effect.
Yeah, those are in a couple of places. Mm-hmm. I have one of those in my office. There's one right outside of Mike and Jerry's.
Mine runs. There's one that runs right down the middle of my office.
Your office used to be a stairway.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Oh,
when you go downstairs, you can see the, like, shadow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you can
see
like,
the,
where the
paint, the
paint
thing.
Like, isn't filled because the staircase was removed.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's
where
it's the penitentiary now.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
But
it looked like the nuclear explosion sort
silhouette.
Of mm-hmm. silhouette mm-hmm. against the wall of where those stairs used to be down there.
But you guys did a good job on design in this place, I have to say. So part of the construction is, you got to clear out everything, but then what you're left with is a different box, right? Mm-hmm. And all those surfaces, the carpet, the walls, the ceilings, their doors, and all that has to be thoughtfully chosen. And these guys made some really good choices.
Well, we tried to do all the paint selections remotely, which was a horrible idea.
That was a sigh of frustration.
Considering that there was no way we were ever going to repaint anything.
Even when we were here,
it was
a point of frustration.
Yeah.
They'd have the blueprints and they'd take notes, and it was sometimes like, flustered. We repainted a couple of things. Well, they repainted a couple.
They repainted a couple. But I remember that night where we're trying, I'm like, I had these iPhone photos, like, so what about this? I'm like, you know what? No. We're going tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
We're meeting them for the regular scheduled meeting. We're just going to go and point and make notes. And thank God we did.
Yes.
I'm really happy with how the carpet turned out, because we had I feel like the design team was trying to find this balance between having it have like that youthful feel and having it feel like Penny Arcade without it feeling too sort of like startup kind of childish, and then finding the balance between that and just like this big corporate building, because it's so large.
Yeah.
And we knew that the walls were going to be painted accent wise and we'd still have more like white walls than we did in the old place, and so we ended up siding on putting these little like pixel splashes of blue and orange carpet in all the offices, and so everybody got to choose whether they wanted blue or orange, and then every conference room has both colors.
It worked out better than we hoped, which is good.
Yeah, I was
way
really
more time thinking about carpet than I ever have in my life.
That's not true.
Ha ha ha. That was a good I'll leave that right there.
Moving on.
Thank you, Erica. I appreciate that.
It was fun. It was another one of those collaboration things, right? Where these guys contributed to the layout too. It wasn't just carpet, Jeff, or or just
hold
paint
on. I cannot
whatever.
Stop thinking about carpet right now.
We were talking about the positioning of maybe the kitchen should go here, maybe it should go there. You know.
So, did you guys have any like? Was it purely the virtual, the aesthetics, or because you mentioned like the kitchen? Like, did you guys help figure out how the HVAC would run?
Yeah,
and
all that
aside
stuff.
From removing the all trunk from Kiko's office?
You remember, I was constantly over here, you know? Like, it's a giant construction project, and fortunately, I love that kind of stuff, you know? I'm
you
a
do.
Real estate guy.
I mean, that was your focus for 6 months.
Well, I had to find the place first.
Yeah, if you include all the groundwork in the false starts, wouldn't have other locations.
Yeah.
But I will never forget the first time I drove into this parking lot, though, and off of a listing that I've just pulled off the internet and being like, you know what?
Oh, the agent didn't even find this place? Well, isn't that always the way? You end up finding
the
place.
To be fair, Robert said, don't look in Redmond. Don't look in Redmond.
Yeah. it's
too far.
And
it is too far.
Not for me.
Not if you
not
live in
me.
Redmond.
Yeah.
Or in Kirkland, where I live.
Only you urban dwellers.
I need to live where the youth are.
The youth.
But yeah, no, like
the street youth.
Even the unspecified crazy architectural features on the outside.
which will not be named.
Unspecified.
Seemed like you know what? This is a weird building. We're a weird company. I think
even
we can make
architectural
this work.
Feature A.
Right. So
I dig it. The concrete in the warehouse is really easy to skate along on. Also,
I'm surprised you haven't set up a half pipe down there.
Well, there's
you sort of have.
Brian's got that little like corrugated steel ramp. It's like diamond plated steel ramp down there that I guess is for like trucks or whatever. But like you can screw around on that. Also, the way that the truck ramp meets with the area where the trash cans are creates that little lip outside.
That's
so
some interest there.
Yeah, Dave and I have.
I saw you
out there
with Marlo.
Out there a little while. Yeah, Marlo's just trying to learn. She just wants to she wants a longboard.
I saw you giving lessons out in our parking lot.
she wanted to go. She bought a board and was like, "Hey, I want you to take me out skating."
Maybe this summer we can finally get you your grilling area.
Oh yeah, get the grill.
That'd be so great.
Yeah, we do need to barbecue up some food for family lunches.
It'll be our longest break between PAXes.
The summer.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. It still doesn't feel. I always tell Susie the second half of our summer is basically shot because PAX Prime sneaks up on us. It makes it hard to go out and do the typical summer things.
What are typical summer things?
No, you know, just the camping trips over the weekends and things
Jeff
like
can't
that.
Can't go to Hawaii.
No. Well, he has to Hawaii trips.
That's why I go in the winter. That's why I go in the winter.
That's why you go all year round.
That's why I
carry Hawaii in my
heart.
He's
dialing in.
That's why I've started to actively discourage like out of state family from visiting during PAX. Like, it makes sense in that they get to see like a cool thing that you know I contribute
to. Yeah, but
you
get spend zero time with them.
But it's just like if they're gonna make a trip out here, it might as well be when they can just do other things.
Yeah.
That's why Susie hasn't come out to
like
PAX
family.
East yet.
What?
If you don't like your family, though, perfect.
If you don't.
It's perfect because my dad can watch the cats.
Oh, there you go. My cat's pretty self-sufficient, but I know yours are not.
No.
You have special cats.
Unfortunately.
Special needs kittens.
Well, I, for one, appreciate Kiko and Vizel's dedication to cats.
Yeah. I love their cats. Because
they can
they're
come watch
rad.
My cats occasionally.
Your cats are awesome.
Oh, it's fun to have young cats after having 14, 15. Not that I don't miss my old cats, but
yeah,
kittens are a different. Sorry, we have gone way off topic. We're talking about. Hey, welcome to Cat Hour with Kiko and Jeff.
Hey, this is going on the internet.
We are
going
to discuss the American bobtail.
Cats do involve penny arcade. You know,
there is a large cat
temper cat.
Yeah,
there are multiple pins.
It's true.
Multiple cat pins.
God, I think almost everybody here is a cat, right?
Faye and Darnley have two long cats.
You don't have one?
Cats.
No.
Robert doesn't have one.
Oh, no.
Robert cannot have one.
Brian doesn't have one anymore.
Robert had one.
What?
Did what?
Brian didn't want
when
he's
grown
any,
up.
Though.
Oh,
yes, he did. He misses them. He wants to get cats again.
Yeah, he'll get.
Give him time.
He'll get.
Give him 6 months,
he'll
have cats.
Believe you me.
He'll have cats in 6 months. Jamie has the dog, so that doesn't count.
No. Jamie's out.
Yeah.
But it's a corgi, so it's like
a
weird, small, cat-sized dog.
A dog is a dog.
It's a big dumb dog.
But it's a cat-sized dog.
A very large cat.
It's a very large cat.
Really
what's the name
cat.
Of that cat that's like, you know, this tall?
What?
A leopard?
No, they crossed it with some African jungle cat, and it's like...
It's a domesticated cat?
Yeah.
Oh, like I know what you're talking about.
Is it a savanna cat?
Tall,
yeah.
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 I think that's my next
quite
cat.
Quite tall.
Well, any
pick you it were up. Like...
Yeah, well, those hand gestures work really well for the podcast.
How many stones high is that?
Cue it.
Any other questions, Josh?
No, that's all the questions. Anything anybody else wants to talk
Now it's up
about?
To us to come up with natural conversation.
I want
to
talk about something.
All right.
So I was flattered that Jeff came into my office the other day because he wants to get his second tattoo.
That's right.
A Seahawks
Wait,
tattoo.
Jeff has a tattoo?
Yeah. Where is that hidden?
If you had tattoos, well,
hold
you
on.
Know
Let me take off my pants.
Now
he's got a little silhouette of a kangaroo, right?
I do. What? From my my honeymoon was in Australia.
Yeah.
And so me and my wife have matching little, like Aboriginal style kangaroo silhouettes.
Jeff, these plain skins wouldn't understand.
I came into your office.
Plain skins.
I came into our office and I said, "Hey, illustrated woman,
you guys are muggles in this situation."
Faye, we are being oppressed.
I know.
But he
shamed.
Came into
We're being shamed.
He came into my office and asked me if I could recommend any local shops and stuff like that, and I was delighted and I was excited.
She gave me a great email last night. Said, "Hey, I think you should go check out this place. Here's some of their work."
So you're finally going to just wear Seahawks branding.
Did you look at some of their concepts they had done?
And I saw another one that I kind of liked, which was the Seahawks logo, but the eye of the Seahawk was the Space Needle.
Oh, cool.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, I liked the one that was more traditional
with
the osprey, just because it's I like that.
That looks like an old Marine Corps.
Right, I like that at first glance, but I think it's not like immediately a Seahawks tattoo. I like that somebody's got to be like, LOB, Legion of Boom.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, for me, I probably will go much more traditional, but we'll see. I need to find a time to go down there, and that's what I'm thinking.
They're open till like... super late every night.
How big are you looking at and where?
My other shoulder, so my left upper arm, you know, maybe 2.5-3 inches.
That's really long. Small.
You How does yeah, the not huge. Licensing work out
you
for
larger.
That?
You mean larger.
Oh, that's... Trust me. It's not.
You write them some kind of a check. Is it like annual? Like a renewal?
Me to the Seahawks?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called my season
ticket.
It's
their branding. So...
I think as part of my season ticket license, I am allowed to put their branding on my...
I don't know.
Well, just make sure.
The amount of money that they have, especially...
He's wearing two pieces of flair right now.
So, yeah, which this is the first time I've not worn a Seahawks shirt.
We've noticed.
In a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the first time Jeff's changed his shirt in a month.
In a month. And I was actually going through my closet, and for once, I think the Seahawks shirts outnumber the Penny Arcade shirts. Because I've bought so many new ones.
I thought
it
would have already.
A lot of Seahawks shirts.
That's actually surprising.
No, but I appreciated having everyone in this office has got like an expertise.
That's true.
Level
the
where
special,
if
weird
you
want
to go talk to them about this particular thing, and Erica is the one I went to about tats.
I've gotten
in leisure
I've
travel
two
is
tattoos
to you
in the
for,
last
Jeff.
3 weeks. So both of which were like That's random right. walk-ins in different states or countries.
Let's see what other weird.
Love it.
What other weird? Like, I remember asking you specifically how you would give your cat injections.
Oh, yeah.
That
is
a weird skill.
Yeah, that's a weird thing because we knew
you
that you had gone through some pet medical issues. You also asked me about tax deductions on particular things.
That's a little bit more normal.
Yeah. Let's see.
The weapons.
So sword fighting, anything to do with...
anything to do with...
that malu.
Right. It's hurting someone with an object, oddly. But, yeah, I know about that.
If you wanted to know about swimming, you'd go to Brian.
Oh yeah,
Brian used to come out to the pool
or soccer
or wine
near my place in
soccer and wine
Magnolia, and would help me because of like my asthma. I was always really bad at swimming, and he was trying to teach me how to breathe and stuff like that.
I actually have to be careful when I ask a casual soccer question because it will turn into
he's pretty much European.
He's very thorough in his answers.
Yeah, he's very thorough talking.
Brian is very thorough.
You have to leave
at a low
him.
Volume with poor enunciation.
Not stop.
I wouldn't go that far.
Just when you need to ask Brian something, block out 30 minutes.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, to an hour.
To an hour. Well, yeah.
30 minutes to an hour.
To 2 hours.
These are the topics to avoid if
are
on a schedule.
Oh, no.
We're in bad
the
dangerous
topics
territory.
To avoid if you're on a schedule. Wine.
Wine. Yeah.
Women.
Women.
Women. That's not
Scotland.
Fair. Scotland. Soccer. Specifically Newcastle. The Detroit Lions and swimming.
The Northeast.
The Northeast?
Region of the United States.
Sometimes.
I don't know.
He doesn't wax philosophical like he
that
does one.
That's more me. I like to.
He's more of a New England guy.
At least the good thing, the you'll be well informed.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, that's the thing. You that's what we're saying. Is if you need an expert answer
yeah.
on any of those topics.
Go. On any of those, you go. Right. But just prepared for the time sake because you will get a very thorough mm-hmm. expert answer.
If you want to know about beer or coffee, you go to Jerry.
Jerry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, everyone's got their
It's now coffee and grilling.
Grilling?
Grilling is
what?
A new thing.
Mm. Oh, well, if we get a grill, maybe we'll have him.
A grill off.
We'll just have him experiment. Do something.
Guerrilla warfare.
Guerrilla
nice.
Warfare.
That's for you, Brian. We said mean things, but now we paid you back.
It's a punnance.
Oh, Jesus. Oh.
Love you, Brian.
You're as bad as, my drunk chicken, or drunk, what's that cookie
use
show?
Your words.
I can't
My Drunk Kitchen with Hannah Hart?
Yeah, that. She is
She's
full of puns. Huh?
She's going to be at camp.
Oh, aren't you in heaven? sorry, there's just too many puns.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it.
All right. How long are we at?
Yeah,
is this the official when Robert normally goes?
I
how long is that?
We can
are we good?
Wrap it up now. So thanks everyone won. For yeah. answering the questions that the viewers, not viewers,
listeners,
there we go, listeners had.
Well, thank the listeners. Listeners,
yeah,
those
thanks,
are good
listeners.
Questions.
Yeah.
Keep up the
those
questions.
Were good questions.
If you have any questions, email podcast@penny-arcade.com.